Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
With Virgin Mobile. Freedom is calling to brighten up your winter mornings. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, the rising cost of living is squeezing people of all ages across the country. We know that. Forcing them to make really difficult decisions on how they spend their money. We're here to, well, here to tell us why this is happening and what we can do. He has all the answers. How to be good with money, author and telepresenter Owen McGee is in studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Jennifer.
It's great to have you in. You're a busy man.
Yeah, lots of things going on.
So
yeah,
the
TV show is flying. We have second last episode tonight, 8:30 RT1. Then on the last show, obviously next week. And the book launches today. So the second book launches today, How to Make Your Money Work. And things have been very busy. And then you have a whole private practice and a personal life and everything else going on. So it's been lots going on. But you know what? That's a first world problem, isn't it?
But it's so needed now because, I mean, it's just crazy. Let's talk about the cost of living. Why is it going up?
If you think about it, if you think about where we were, and particularly in this country, if you think about where we were 12 months ago,
yeah,
like nobody was going out, nobody was spending money, we were in a lockdown, and the world is, the entire world all at the same time is starting to open up again. And prices of things go up based on the old adage of demand and supply. If you've got more demand than there is supply, the supplier just increases the prices. And that's what it comes down to. But you've got the perfect storm here. You've got huge demand and increase in demand from zero to all of a sudden the world is opening up again. But you've also got, for us here, we've got Brexit and just the supply chains. And one of our big supply chains was obviously the UK. And that's just more difficult for them to get stuff in, never mind get it out to us as well. So we have a perfect storm where the world is opening up again. Interestingly enough, if you listen to, and the narrative is starting to change, but as inflation was starting to increase, the European Central Bank, who control interest rates. And people have to be really careful of this. The European Central Bank only use interest rates. So they move interest rates up and down, and that'll ultimately dwindle down to how much you're paying on your mortgage and your loans and how much interest you're getting on your savings. But they can only move interest rates up and down to control inflation. OK, so if they see that inflation is running away with it themselves or with itself,
yeah,
they have to increase interest rates to curb it. So what they've been using is this word transitionary, and people may have heard it or may not have heard it. But basically what you're saying they're saying this is only a temporary thing. It's going to go away soon. And if they can stick to that narrative, they don't have to use interest rates. They don't have to up them, which wouldn't be great for the rest of the business economy and everything else. So in simple terms, they think it's transitionary, but is it here to stay? The long-term suggestion is it's not here to stay.
Okay.
It could be here for a little while.
Okay.
But
we
have a new floor. Like when the price of things go up, they tend not to go down. If the price of a pint goes up to whatever, €7, they don't turn around and say, oh, our costs have gone down and pass it on, because it's a new normal. And that's fine because their costs have gone up and everything
well,
else.
Well, it's not fine, Owen. It's not fine with me, I have to say.
It's fine because I don't want publicans texting in and saying, but this is what our costs are.
Yeah, I know you will get them. But just looking at food, it says here, some people noticing an increase of around €80 increase in their weekly shop. That's a huge amount for some households.
€80 is a massive increase. And there is another number that €3,024 is what it's costing the average household with kids just to pay their bills on a month-to-month basis before they pay rent or mortgage. Like, that's an incredible number, particularly when you think that the average income in this country is €40,283, which after tax is €3,018, which is €6 short of what that number is, of what it is. So, and that's a one income household. Married couple with one income on an average income cannot cover the average cost of running a household anymore. It's incredible to think how squeezed people are going to feel as this continues.
Our feeling. Ireland is the third most expensive country in Western Europe.
Yes, it is. And we feel that. And we feel that every day. But what can you do about it, Jen?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, that was a rhetorical question. What can you do about it? The shopping's a great one, right?
Okay.
And like you'll see it, particularly tonight's TV show is slightly different. It's about a guy who inherited, a really nice guy who inherited his father's. His father passed away and he inherited the house. He's trying to make that big decision. Next week, we have Fiona. And Fiona is 37 years of age, living at home. And she joys to spend.
Mm-hmm.
When I started working with her, she had lovely nails and she had lovely hair, and She still has lovely nails and
now
lovely hair, but she's not.
After meeting you, is that what you're saying?
Bits. No, she still looks great, but she's not spending as much money on it. That's the difference, okay? And what I found with Fiona, like, Fiona was really, like, she really had to cut her spending. Like, it was a big challenge, but she wanted to do it and she needed to do it, and the time was right. But I'm very conscious there was a TD last week got in trouble for saying all the stuff I'm about to say. I do believe where people are really struggling, government's responsibility to step in and help them financially. Nobody should be like in absolute poverty and not be able to heat the house or pay for food or whatever else. So putting that aside, if you're kind of just tickling along but you're really feeling the squeeze, what should you be doing? And everyone should be doing this. When you go shopping, do the simple things, like €80 extra. Do the simple things. Like, don't go when you're hungry. I know that sounds silly, but
no,
don't go when you're hungry.
Yeah.
Ideally, don't bring the kids because they throw stuff into the basket without you knowing. Mm-hmm. Make sure that if you go when it's quiet, notice this, right? When you go to the shops when it's quiet, they play slow music, so you walk slow. When you go to the shops when it's busy, they play faster music, so you walk faster so they can get more people through. So be really conscious, but also be aware that when you're standing in front of a shelf, they put the most profitable, most expensive item at eye level. And if you just look down or above, you'll probably get a similar quality level of product, but at a much cheaper cost. I know this is really simple stuff, but this is the big stuff. The other big stuff that's going on, like 30% of the inflationary problems here right now are got to do with energy. Energy,
yeah.
I've
heard that.
Light and heat,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Shop around, is that what you're going to say?
CRU.ie. Okay, so we don't give anyone a plug. CRU.ie is the government agency that regulates utilities. Okay, and they've got a list of all the switchers. So okay. The switcher companies, all you have to do is go on to CRU, pick one of the switcher companies, have your gas bill or your electricity bill, or ideally both, in your hand when you're logging on. And you will go on to one of the switcher companies, you'll punch in, this is how much my bill was last month, blah, 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 blah. And once they identify the cheapest on the market for you, they handle it from there. Like, it's a real quick win.
I think people are put off by doing that because they think it's going to be a big rigmarole, don't they? Of phone calls
so,
and waiting online.
I put a challenge out to your listeners today, right? If anyone's sitting at home at the moment, or if you're working from home and you have 5 minutes to spare, pull out the bill, go to CRU.ie, go find a switcher and text in before the end of the show to see. The average savings used to be advertised by these switcher companies as, on average, we save €320. I'm seeing them advertising now €500 a year in savings.
Okay.
Now, that's a massive change to what people are used to spending. And it's money that's immediate. It's a really quick win.
It's five hairdos.
Five, or how many times could your nails done for that? How many times could Fiona go and get her nails done?
15 times, depends where she's gone.
Yeah, I have
maybe
no
more.
Idea. Thank God.
But yeah, so CRU, that's a really good tip, Owen.
Yeah.
If anybody is listening and you have a bill handy, you know, prove them right. Go on, see if you can save a few quid for yourself and do it. Now, it's all these simple things. So that's a very, very good tip. Anything else? So the food shopping is a big one. Look around. Don't go when you're hungry. Don't bring the kids. Don't forget your vouchers.
Yes, don't forget your vouchers is a big
one.
Don't
forget your vouchers.
And you know what? A lot of the companies have made it easier now that you can just, like the supermarkets have made it easier. But also, there are all the little things you can do, but sometimes we ignore the big things. Like, you can save 10 and 20,000 euro over a life of a mortgage by switching it from one provider to another. Like, it's massive the money you can save. It is a little bit of hassle. Absolutely, it can be. But again, try this one. Maybe don't do this one today. Do this one at the weekend. If you're doing CRU.ie today, do this one at the weekend. CCPC.ie/money. Okay? They do sponsor the TV show, but they are a government agency. So it's kind of a plug. But CCPC.ie/money. Get your mortgage, your last mortgage statement. Log on there. There's a section for switchers. And what happens is you put in how much your mortgage is left on it, what the term is left and what you repay. And they will search the market and they tell you who's the cheapest in the market. But not only that, they'll tell you how much you will save. Like, we pay on average around 1.5% more per year on our mortgages than if you were getting a mortgage somewhere across the rest of Europe. Like, we are much more expensive. And the only way, or the only positive thing we can do to drive down the change is to actually start switching from one provider to another, because then the providers look at it and the banks look at it and say, oh God, we're losing customers because we're more expensive than the other ones. It is a little bit of hassle, but it is well worth it.
Doing.
You can save a fortune doing it that way. And sometimes you look after the little things and we do the really hard stuff, like really concentrate and walking in the grocery market when you just want to get it done. And we do the really simple things, but the big things are the ones that make you big savings.
Huge difference. Yes. Okay. When I said you were coming on the show, we were inundated with a lot of messages. I'm just going to read out a few. Someone says, hi guys, can you ask Owen, is a private pension is seen as saving for a mortgage application, or is deposit from sale of current home enough to guarantee the application?
Okay, I think they're talking about a deposit. Well, you won't be able to access the private pension as a deposit for your house unless you're of an age that you're able to access that pension. And so it's unlikely that that's kind of a red herring in that one for me. But what I would say is the sale of a deposit for a house. Sorry, so if you've sold a house and you're buying another house, the equity that you took from the last house can be used as a deposit towards the second house. It's part of the reason why the central bank say if you're a first-time buyer, you need a 10% deposit. But if you're a second-time buyer, if you've bought a house before and you're buying again, you need a 20% deposit. That's the central bank rules, because the central banks are looking at it and saying you're probably bringing some positive equity from your last home into the new home, so it helps you with the deposit.
Okay.
So absolutely. And some people are worried to think they need to have savings. What you do need to prove, though, that's the security side of things with a mortgage. And the bank wants to see that if everything goes wallop and they have to take this house back off you, have they got a little buffer in there? So have they got 20% or 10%? And have you got skin in the game that they're going to get their money back and cover their costs? But the other thing that you need to prove to a bank is what's called your ability to repay. So if the mortgage is going to be €1,000 a month, you need to show them not only that you can save, or that your previous mortgage was €1,000 a month, or that your savings is €1,000. You need to show them 1.3 times whatever the mortgage repayment is going to be. So in that case, €1,300 a month. So what you're saying is you're walking into the bank and saying, look, there's my rent, or there's my previous mortgage, or there's my savings record, or there's a combination of all of them together, right? Your mortgage is going to cost me €1,000 a month, but I can prove that for the last year or 2 years, I've been doing €1,300 a month. So even if interest rates go up, I'll still pay your mortgage for you, Mr. Banker.
Okay. I'd be very grateful if Owen could advise on the best long-term savings scheme with a good return.
Okay. So one of the things I never do on my Instagram or live on air anywhere is recommend individual products. And the reason is because it's thousands of products and not everyone's product is going to suit them. What you do need to decide, though, and just to be very generalist here, what you do need to decide is if you've got money that you're not sitting in your bank account that you're not going to spend in the next 5 years, it doesn't belong in your bank account. If you've got money that you have in your wages each month that you're willing to save and not touch for 5 years, you don't save it in the bank account. It's what I call the 5 year rule. And the reason for that is because over a 5 year period or more, you can turn up the risk a little bit, get much better returns, but the risk is diluted by the amount of time that you're invested in. This is where I talk about my no-brainer 60-40 portfolio, 60% in shares, 40% in bonds. It's as straightforward as that, 60% in world stock markets and 40% in bonds. And I was chatting to someone outside just before I walked in, and I was telling them that there's a 99.6% chance of a positive return on a 60-40 no-brainer portfolio over 5 years.
Not bad.
And that's a positive return, and that tends to take the sting out of people going, I'm afraid of investing in shares. Get yourself a little bit of advice, but you are absolutely making life 10 times harder on yourself if you're trying to save long term using the bank account, which is the biggest mistake people make with the child benefit.
That is very good advice. Do you ever get sick of talking about money?
No.
I know you don't. I mean, you're chatting to people in the corridor. You can't go anywhere.
I'm an absolute financial planner nerd.
Oh,
I'm like,
you are such a geek, Owen, but it's brilliant. And just those little tips are so worth it. So the show is on. You have two more shows left.
Tonight, 8:30.
Great.
RT1 next week as well as the last one. And the book is out today. First, today, I got a copy.
I'm very excited.
How to Make Your Money Work. And this is book number two. Book number one went very well, so let's see how this one goes.
Well, go and grab a copy. How to Make Your Money Work by Owen McGee is out now, available in all good bookshops. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.